Final hour, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman out here at MTSU Media Days in Murfreesboro, sitting not too high above Floyd Stadium. They wrapped up practice earlier, got a chance to chat with head coach Derek Mason and quarterback Nick Vadiato. Teron Davenport with me for the first TD Tuesdays here on the program. He is back at the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. TD, let's get back into the Titans here. Big week coming up. Titans have practice here in Nashville tomorrow. Then we'll be heading down to Tampa for a joint practice with the Buccaneers on Thursday before preseason game number one on Saturday. Cam Ward, it's been an up and down start to training camp for him. Couple of good days, couple of bad days, some days where it's, you know, it seems like he's making the throws that you would expect based on what we saw from him in college, and then maybe throwing a bad pick. Is it fair to be concerned with Cam Ward even just 2 weeks into training camp?
I think it's fair to be concerned, but it's all about the degree of concern that you have, right? It's definitely not one of those the sky is falling type of situations, yep. And it's definitely not one of those, hey, you know what? Pencil him in for offensive rookie of the year once either. And I think that's fine, right? Because as I've always said, you never get too high, you never get too low. It's a process in this case, right? And as we talked about earlier, Cameron Ward is a guy that you do want to play initially. So I understand Brian Callahan's standpoint as far as saying, hey, you know what? I'm of the school of belief where the only way for a guy to get better is to play. And I think this situation, it applies to it. And when I say the only way for a guy to get better is for him to play, I say this. Ward is feeling things out early on in camp. He told us that he's getting to understand that, hey, you know what? I may not be able to put as much loft on this pass as I would have done against Louisville because the corners and safeties here, they close really well, right? So you have that, but then you also look at how he's more recently said that he's kind of figuring out what he can and can't do and what he could get away with and what he can't. It's a feeling out process. This situation, to me, is a lot like, and I know it's boring and you hate to see it in a boxing match, but when you have the boxers, they first come out, you know, they're touching gloves and then he pulls back and like they're just trying to test each other and see, okay, you know what shot can I land that will knock him out? And I think it's the same situation here with Cameron Ward as far as just trying to figure out what he could do.
Yeah, and Brian Callahan has said as much, that he's not making the same mistake twice.
Right.
And I think that's the important thing, is that if you're going to make mistakes, which we've seen from Cam Ward early on in training camp, you want them to happen in training camp against your team where he can learn from it. This week, it feels important for him. First time he's seeing another colored jersey on the other side. And talking with Paul Kaharski yesterday, it was like, yeah, Denard Wilson is trying to make it hard on you. But Denard Wilson also knows the best thing for the Titans is that Cam Ward is good and he's confident. Todd Bowles isn't going to have the same mentality. Todd Bowles is going to want to make it very, very hard for him this week. And I think it's good that it's only one day of joint practices this week and Cam Ward can get his feet wet. But I think everybody across, you know, Titans fan base, media, is going to be locked in on this joint practice later this week to see if Cam Ward can make the adjustments and have some success against another NFL defense.
Yeah, there's a lot of anticipation for that. And I will say this, right? Denard Wilson obviously understands that Cameron Ward's success is the Titans' success, but he's throwing the kitchen sink at him, right? You look at these blitzes. I mean, you're getting double A-gap blitzes. You're getting nickel blitz. You're getting the corner coming off that. You're getting stunts up front. They're trying to show him everything that he could see. Now, here's what's interesting to me, Jake, when we talk about these joint practices, right? I'm going to start with the ones in Tampa first, and you look at Todd Bowles, and, you know, they run that two-high look. They'll have the linebacker carry routes down the middle of the field, you know, with that Tampa 2 look. where have most of Ward's interceptions happened? Even though they're all different stories, most of them have happened in the middle of the field. So I want to see Gunnar Helm. I want to see Restrepo. I want to see Chimere Dike running that deep over route. You know what I mean? I want to see how they're able to match those guys up. Chig Okonkwo running the seam routes. I want to see how they're able to match them up against those linebackers and what Ward does as far as like reading that linebacker, you know, that's vacating the middle of the field. Do they have something schemed up where they have an under route underneath there and it's a basic high-low read for Ward? Those are the easy ways to allow your quarterback to, A, get some completions, but most importantly, establish a good degree of confidence, which we know he already has from a preparation. But when the results come also, the confidence goes even higher.
Yeah, you mentioned that the interceptions have come over the middle of the field, and Brian Callahan mentioned that a big issue with young quarterbacks is trying to throw over people. And I think it's a good test to face this Tampa team where you do have that Tampa 2 defense where the linebacker, like you said, going to be carrying those routes down the middle of the field. Can Cam Ward fit it into those tight windows and test out what he can do? And maybe you see some success, but if he does throw a pick or two, hopefully it is a learning experience for Cam Ward of what he's going to see when the live bullets start flying in September and he finds out, all right, well, in college, I could roll to my right and toss it back over the middle of the field and split the safeties, and it was no problem. Right. In the NFL, he's not going to be able to do that.
Yeah, guys close a little bit faster. And we got to see to a degree just where he is as far as understanding you know, what he can put on the ball touch and loft wise last week when Calvin Ridley had a deep catch. You know, they ran a double move and Cam, he placed the ball perfectly, like towards the sideline. It forced Ridley to run and go get it, but it was away from the sideline enough to where Xavier Woods couldn't come off his post in time and get it. And the ball, like, I'm not going to say it hung in the air a bit, but it has some loft on it. And I'm like, ooh, Ridley's about to get popped. He's about to get popped. No, it was actually placed well. So those are the types of things that you're starting to see him do better. I will say a similar throw early, not on a double move, but a similar like type of go route earlier in camp. You know, he was a little behind on it, you know. So those are good signs of progress, but there's still a lot more to go. And he is 100% not ready to go out against the Broncos. But the good thing for them is, you know, there's weeks, what, 3-4 weeks left before he actually has to suit up and get to Denver.
A lot was made during the offseason program when Cam Ward said his confidence is a 10 out of 10. Have you seen any loss of confidence from him?
No.
And I think that's a good thing.
No, none. And in fact, I said to myself before team period on, let's see, so Sunday, on Friday, before these days mixed up, before team period, on the practice, whatever practice it was before Sunday, before that, I remember him going up to the defense. You know, the offense is huddled up. Callahan is filtering through, getting ready to call the play as they just start the period. And he went over to the defense, and he's talking trash to Cody Barton, to Jeffrey Simmons. He has not lost his confidence one bit. And I think that's the swagger, the aura that you want. Now, not all quarterbacks, you know, are outspoken and talk the talk the way he does, and that's fine. But I would say this, because I know there was a lot of, well, how could he be so confident he never even threw a pass in a game? It's the preparation.
Right.
It's the preparation. As athletes, your confidence, it always builds from your preparation, the work that you put in, and how much you feel you put yourself up to be able to excel in the moment when it comes.
Yeah, we just talked about the college football impatience meter. The Titans fan base, it just feels way too impatient with this young quarterback. It's like he has been playing, not even playing, he's been practicing as a true NFL quarterback for about 2 weeks now. Like, I understand it hasn't been perfect, and I think there are more red flags than I expected coming in, more concerns. But let's give him a couple of weeks where it's an actual game week, like this week. He's leading up to a preseason game. He's going to do the same thing the next 2 weeks. And let's see where he is in late August as they head into that. I guess it's kind of like a week and a half off ahead of week one. Like, let's see where he is heading into that. And I'm not going to be one of those people who say 100% he has to play week one. Even though I think that's the best thing for him, if he's not ready and he looks like a disaster in the three preseason games, obviously you don't just throw him out there. But I think it's also unfair to act like he's not going to get better over these next 3 weeks. You would expect that there's going to be a lot of growth for him as he goes through the preseason.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of growth and a lot more opportunity. And another thing that you have to look at, right, with the joint practices, right, they're not a defense that has seen your offense for back-to-back, back-to-back-to-back days. And case in point, right, Cody Barton, one of his interceptions, you know, I say, hey, Cody, what happened? And he says specifically, well, you know, I'm going to be honest. I saw the play yesterday. I knew where he was going with the football. So I left my position and I dropped back and I picked it off. And that's going to happen, you know, in joint in practices where you're going against each other over and over again. But here's the thing. The question mark to me is not as much Cameron Ward as it is Brian Callahan.
Yeah.
And I think for Brian Callahan's sake, he has to develop Ward. So I think Ward is going to play because I don't see him being able to afford to go through the bad season or bad games that will come. I'm not even going to say bad. I'm going to say the dull games that will come if Brandon Allen is the quarterback, right? So you have to have Cam out there because you're not going to get an opportunity to develop him if you don't do it this year. Because if you don't do it this year, you know, you're going to be gone and who knows being here as the coach next season?
100%. Brian Callahan knows that he is not safe if they go 2-15 this year, and that shouldn't be the main priority when you're looking at how to develop Cam Ward. I think you look at it as what is Cam Ward going to learn sitting behind Brandon Allen? Like, I understand Patrick Mahomes. He had Alex Smith, who was close to a 10-year veteran at that point. He'd been to the playoffs multiple times, and
right.
He was a consummate professional who had been a starting quarterback in the NFL for years. Patrick Mahomes can learn a lot from just watching him go about his business. Like, Brandon Allen's never been the starting quarterback in the NFL before. What is Cam Ward going to learn from watching Brandon Allen learning the exact same things that Cam Ward should be learning?
Yeah. I mean, look, if anything, as far as him sitting – if anything, but even in this situation, Andy Reid had all of the patience and his job wasn't at risk.
Right.
I go back to, was it 96, I want to say, when Donovan McNabb first got to the league, right? They had a guy by the name of Doug Peterson. They traded for him, and he was the starter. They didn't want to – and McNabb was a very experienced quarterback coming out of Syracuse. They didn't want to put him out there right away, so they had Doug Peterson be the guy, but then McNabb came in later on in the year. It was 99, come to think of it. But he came in, you know, later on in the year in the second half of the season, and we know the career that he developed. So, I mean, look, sometimes sitting it is good, and you could learn what not to do by watching the guy. But at the same time, I think in Ward's case, 100%, he's someone that you want to see playing from the start. And, hey, look, if he has a rocky game against Denver and that really good defense, it's all right.
Yeah.
It's all right. Learn from it, right? No. What did Coach Mason say, right? He said no losing is lessons. It's lessons, not losses. So that is something that you could build upon.
Yeah, you mentioned that Cam Ward, if he has one bad game to start, we've talked about it before. The first game clearly does not decide how a quarterback's career goes. The Titans have seen their last two possible franchise quarterbacks put up career days in their first career game and then never get back to that kind of production again. So if Cam Ward goes out and throws a couple of picks against the Broncos in week one, it is not the end of the world. And the Titans will have some patience and try and develop him. And I think the best way to develop him is by having him play. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have any thoughts, you can text or call. Our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll continue the conversation around Cam Ward and what could be a very important week for his development heading down to Tampa for joint practices and his first preseason game. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, next man up here on 1025 The Game.
Last one to talk about Cam, the first word you usually hear is confidence. Mm-hmm. How important do you think that is when he is struggling, things aren't going well, and guys don't see him get rattled?
I think that's an underrated and critical part about playing quarterback in the NFL, because you're always going to have something go wrong. It's just the position, the pressure the position faces, especially when you're a young quarterback that people are counting on. That ability to not get rattled and to not ever dip in your confidence is really what separates guys, I think. And Cam's got a really unique ability to not get flustered, or he never flinches, and he just comes on back and does it again. And that's an important quality for a young player to have, because it's going to be hard. There's no doubt about it. It's a hard position to play. It's a hard position in sports. He's a young player. We have a young team, and he's going to face plenty of adversity, and his mental makeup and ability to handle that and stay confident through struggle, I think, is really important.
That was head coach Brian Callahan talking about Cam Warden, the mentality that he has. Doesn't get rattled, doesn't let one mistake affect the next play. Going to be important for Cam Ward as he heads into joint practices in his first preseason game this week to keep that confidence and not get rattled, because I'm sure there will be some mistakes throughout the week. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, next man up here on 102.5 The Game, continuing the conversation around Cam Ward and what could be a huge week for him, getting to face another team for the first time Thursday in joint practice against the Buccaneers, and then a game against the Bucs on Saturday. Let's go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam in Portland has been waiting patiently. Adam, thanks for waiting. Go ahead.
Hey, TD, so you don't question my fandom, right? I've been talking to you for years.
You know, no, you're about it, man.
Thank you. All right, so with that being said, I'm extremely nervous for our quarterback. Like, and the reason I say that, because when you say it just triggered me. You were like, he's learned something that he can't do now that he was doing in college against a terrible team that doesn't want to hurt him and that doesn't have good edge rushers. Our best edge rusher is the project. What are we talking about, man? Like, I'm so nervous for this quarterback. Like, yeah, he's learning, but he's learning against awful players, man. And I don't mean that ugly. Like, I know the pros, man, but they're not as good as the other pros. So, like, I'm nervous against Denver. Like, I'm not even one of these guys who thinks Denver's just going to wipe the floor with us. I'm just nervous because Cam has not seen anything real, and I feel like he's going to see something real. And he's really all we have, man. Like, all my eggs are in the Cam Ward basket. But I'm nervous, and I hear you talking. I'm like, dude, this does not make me feel any better about going into the season.
Yeah, well, look, here's the good thing. You're going to get to see him face a pretty good defense in Tampa, and then Atlanta, scheme-wise at least, they're pretty good. Obviously, they don't really have many dynamic pass rushers either, although, you know, James Pierce, I don't know if he's down there to play football or box, because he's getting into a fight every day, but you have that. But then after that, you got Minnesota. So he's going to see some different defenses. The only thing I could tell you is really just – you got to buckle up, man. Like, it's not going to be an easy ride early. There's going to be some turbulence, right? And it's really going to come down to how Brian Callahan and Cameron Ward, are they going to be able to land the plane? And that's the bottom line, and that's what the question mark is. And obviously, as I said, the biggest question mark is your main pilot in Brian Callahan, who's flying that plane right now. And it's something that they got to figure out ways to make this game easier for him and figure out ways to overcome this deficit in talent, right, against the other teams. And that's where the biggest question mark to me comes into play, which is the head coach.
Yeah, I'm with you there, TD. I think Callahan, the questions around Callahan are much more valid than the questions around Cam Ward. Like, again, Cam Ward is 2 weeks into his first training camp. It was never going to be perfect. I think Titans fans, you know, including myself, I thought it was going to be better off the bat. I thought Cam Ward would come out and it wouldn't maybe take this long for him to avoid some of those bad days. But he's a young quarterback, again, in his first training camp. For Brian Callahan, the guy who was brought in to basically be the QB guru, he was the guy who was supposed to develop Will Levis, didn't do that. Now he's getting the chance with Cam Ward. If things don't go well, he's going to be the one who takes the blame, and Ward will get another chance with another coach next year.
Yeah, and here's the thing, right? It's not over just yet, right? Give it a chance to see how it works out. But then also, I think when you look at this, like, Adam comes on and he says, hey, man, like, I don't think oh, man, going against Denver is going to be – well, here's the thing. I talked to Bo Hardigree the other day, Sunday, and I talked about Cameron Ward and how they feel about him being the starter and how they're building him up. He said, man, I'm not thinking about Denver. Like, I'm thinking about the next day.
Yep.
So this is a process. Like, it is a step-by-step process. They say a lot of times, right, that there's two ways to get up to the next floor, right, the next couple of floors. You can either take the stairs or the elevator. They are taking the stairs, right? There's no express lane here. They're taking the stairs, and it's a step-by-step building process that they're going to allow to accumulate and develop. And eventually, at some point, we'll see if he's ready or not, you know, to go against the Broncos.
And you mentioned Donovan McNabb earlier, and obviously there's been comparisons of, Steve McNair sat. I think football is a different game.
Yeah.
Like, at this point, yes, there are the examples of Patrick Mahomes, but there were other circumstances that allowed the Chiefs to do that. Like you said, like Andy Reid wasn't worried about his job security, and they had Alex Smith, who led them to the playoffs the year before. Josh Allen had like a 52% completion percentage at Wyoming. He was not ready to step in and start from day one. Lamar Jackson, he was the 32nd pick. He wasn't the first overall pick. So I think playing is the only way Cam Ward is going to get better. And I know we're going to have this conversation up until he takes the field at Mile High on September 7th. But I think any comparisons from more than 15 years ago, it just doesn't... It's a very different game, and quarterbacks don't get 4 or 5 years to develop now. And look at Anthony Richardson. We had the conversation earlier. He's 2 years in, and he might lose his job. You don't have 5 years to develop a quarterback now. It's two, maybe three.
Yeah, and that's – look, man, it's a microwave society overall that we live in, and, you know, all the more now as far as when it comes to the quarterback. So, I mean, results are expected immediately, and – I get that, but, you know, this organization, they've been preaching patience, right?
Right.
From top to bottom. You know, patience with Mike Borgonzi, with Brian Callahan, with Cameron Ward, with the roster development, everything. They're looking at it more on the long term, the long haul kind of thing. And you got to remember, the guy that's in charge of all this, he came from the ultimate long haul type of organization, Chad Brinker and the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And, the Packers, they obviously had their plan together for the last 30 years of, you know, draft a quarterback before you need one. Titans obviously did not have that luxury. TD, quickly on Cam Ward. I know that the Titans and a lot of teams will use joint practices sometimes in place of preseason reps if they like what they see in the joint practices.
Oh, maybe he's playing.
My question is, I expect he's going to play. How much do you think Cam Ward's going to play?
Yeah, yeah. I actually had to touch on this on an SC hit I did last night. So I, you know, reached out to some people. And at this point right now, they're working through it. Their decision is not going to be based on, because you could see, okay, well, you know what, Thursday practice, if he does well, maybe he'll play less. If he doesn't, maybe he'll play more, whatever. It's not going to be based off of that. It's just something that they're working through. I think it's more going to be based off of how they do that first couple series, the offense overall, and that is where they'll determine, it's like one of those books, right? You could, like, hey, you want this, you choose this as the destination, then you turn to page 42, right? You choose that, you turn to page 35.
Choose your own adventure.
Choose your own adventure. I think that's really is how it's going to be. Just based off of the first couple series.
Yeah, I think he should play a decent amount on Saturday. If there's a game he's not going to play a ton, I would guess it's Atlanta because they have the two joint practices.
Yeah.
And then the Vikings game, I would think he plays at least the first quarter. But again, the last preseason game, I guess, has a little bit of a different view because if he has a drive where he feels confident and you feel good in the first team offense after the first drive, like, there's no reason to run him back out there again.
Right, right.
So
that's what we got to see, you know.
It's going to be very, you could say like a baseball manager of, like, you got to have some feel of when the guy on the mound needs to come out. Like, all right, this guy has one more batter in him. I think that's kind of going to be what Cam Ward is throughout the preseason. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. You can text or call. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Plenty more to get to in the final half hour of the program today. I want to hit on the other rookies, TD, because you've written a couple of pieces, one on Femi Oladejo, had a little note about Kevin Winston. I want to check in with those two guys, the day two picks on defense. We'll do that next. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, next man up here on 102.5 The Game. Final half hour on this Tuesday. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman live out here at MTSU Media Days in Murfreesboro, sitting inside Floyd Stadium. Been a fun day so far. Got to chat with head coach Derek Mason and quarterback Nick Vadiato. Teron Davenport back at the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heat, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios for TD Tuesdays. Again, be sure to tune into the program 9 to noon every Tuesday. Teron Davenport will join us for all 3 hours. Talking about Cam Ward in this rookie class, let's go to our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Wes in Hermitage has been waiting. Wes, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Jake, am I the next man up?
You are the next man up here on Next Man Up.
first off, before we even get into Titans, man, I just want to give you a big congratulations. Not just for this, bro, but, like, this is your second show, and you sound like you've been doing this for 25 years, man. So kudos to you for that.
I really appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun, and a big thanks to Chase for trusting me with this, and hope we can continue to give you good coverage throughout the week.
Yeah, man, you'll make the station and Chase proud. Look, for both of y'all, this is I'm having a hard time finding a scenario where I don't want to bring Callahan back, regardless of the record at the end of this year. So I guess my question is, what's y'all's deal breaker? So what is it that if Callahan does this, or if you see this from Callahan's team, that you're just like, okay, nope, you know what, we can't do this, even though it's his second year with Cam Ward, he's got to go. What is it that breaks it down for you guys?
Yeah, thanks for the call, Wes. TD, for me, it would be if we don't see sustained growth from Cam Ward throughout the season. Like, there's no win total for me, but it would be if in September we're still or in December we're still talking about the same issues we were talking about in September with Cam Ward. If we don't see him steadily improve throughout the season, I think Brian Callahan is going to take the brunt of the blame for that.
Yeah, I think it goes beyond just the development of the quarterback. I think you have to not have these unforced errors, right? You need to not continuously be in third and long situations because of a dumb penalty or, you know, a play not working on first down and then something happening on second. Now you're in third and long. I think that's important. I think you have to avoid coverage mishaps and things like that resulting into big plays. I think those little fine line things are where you have to see the improvement first. To me, it's basically like Vanderbilt last year, right, where it's like, okay, you go from a team that takes solace in – just competing to a team that next year is like, hey, we need to win this game. Like, we lost. I don't like that we lost. We should have won. And right now I think they're at a point where it's like, okay, you got to be competitive, but they need to establish that mark to where they – obviously they're going to expect to win games. As a pro, you don't go into a game not expecting to win. But I think when it's to a degree where you turn somewhat of a corner, right, you elevate yourself from the bottom 10, the bottom tier of the league, and get more towards that mid-tier. And then, obviously, next year you progress and you build on that. And then 27, you're in a more competitive type of situation.
Yeah, I like that comparison you made with Vanderbilt, because Clark Lee, they went 2-10 back in 2023 and lost their last 10 games of the year. And Clark Lee made the adjustments. He changed the way he did things, and it showed that he could make progress, and now it looks great over there on West End. I think Callahan has to prove that too, and we've seen him make some changes where it's necessary, change the special teams coordinator. Love it or hate it, he's tried to change the way he does things in the offseason, so we'll see if it works out, but I agree with you. I think there can't be games like the Lions game or the Commanders game too next year where you're out of the game midway through the first quarter, and it it feels like you're playing in a different league than some of these other teams.
And real quick, part of that whole process of the off-season stuff, the focusing on guys being held accountable and eliminating things, I will say this. We got to go in there and sit down with Brian Callahan, and he gave a presentation of just the things that they're tracking, the details. I mean, guys are being held accountable. The negative results, they're posted right there on the door leading into the position meetings and things like that. And for me, why I harp on these small things, right, the not having the third and longs, the penalties, the unforced errors, the me's, as they call it, the mental errors, I think those are things that really will allow you to measure how successful this program offseason was. I know it's been called different things, but at the end of the day, you typically, if you're doing what you're doing right, you typically get the results that you enforce and that you focus on. And so that's why it's really important to see how those things go.
Let's go back to our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Trey is on the line. Trey, thanks for calling. What you got for us?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
What's
congratulations,
up? What's up?
Jay. How
thank you.
Doing,
you.
Hey, I wanted to know, TD, since you've been, you know, interacting with the team this year, how much do you think Cam will play the first game? And do you see any progression in his what he's doing on the field? Because we have to win this game. There's no ifs, ands, ups about it. We have to win this game. And I'll shut up, but congratulations, Jake, and y'all have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you for the call, Trey.
I'm assuming Trey is talking about this game on Saturday that they have to win. If that's exactly what he's saying. Look, there has been improvement, but when you see the improvement, there's regression. Like, something else will pop up. So it's one of those kind of like it's going to be a bumpy road. Like, that's all I could say. Like, strap up, because – it's not going to be, you know, smooth sailing, right? And that's okay. That's what happens when you have a young quarterback taking over early. He takes those lumps, and eventually, you know, you're going to find out if he's going to be able to swing back or not. And I think that's really where this team is right now. Again, like I said, there's been improvement, right? He doesn't make the same mistake twice, right? You see him being able to, you know, throw with that arm arrogance that he threw with, and making some of those throws to the seams or double moves to the outside and different things. So as far as him playing, again, like I said, it's really going to come down to what decision they arrive upon at some point. Because, like I said, they're working through it. But to me, that first couple series, that's going to tell you. That's going to tell you. And I think that's what you have to watch out for. Maybe by then, you know, by Friday or so after that joint practice, maybe they'll have a better idea or picture of what they're going to do and be able to share that a little more freely. But right now, we'll see.
Yeah, going to be exciting to see Cam Ward in the full Titans uniform in an actual NFL stadium playing a game for the first time on Saturday at Tampa. That is a 6:30 Central Time kick between the Titans and Bucks. Titans went 3-0 in the preseason last year. Unless you're, I believe Connor said, unless you're the Ravens, who won how many in a row? 20-something in a row?
Oh, yeah.
The wins don't really matter all that much in the preseason. So we'll see what the Titans can do this week down in Tampa. Joint practice on Thursday, preseason game on Saturday. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Last call for phones as we wrap things up in the final segment. I mentioned we were going to get into the other rookies. We will do that next to wrap up the show. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, next man up here on 1025 The Game. Final segment on this Tuesday. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe coming up after us here on the station. Been a fun day. I'm out here at Floyd Stadium for MTSU Media Days. TD, Teron Davenport back at our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios for our first TD Tuesday on the program. Again, don't forget, every Tuesday from 9 to 12, we will have Teron Davenport with us. TD, before we get out of here, I did mention I wanted to check in on the other rookies in this Titans draft class. Cam Ward gets all the headlines, but it does seem like Femi Oladejo, from what at least I expected when they drafted him. I thought he was going to be more of a project guy where this year maybe he rotates in every once in a while. It seems like he's going to be a key piece of this defense. That may say something about the Titans' edge group as a whole, but it seems like he's having a pretty good camp so far.
Yeah, so far so good, right? And, I mean, look, this is the 52nd overall pick, so it's not like some, you know, late
– right. It's not Jalen
nice
Harrell.
Story type of situation. This is a guy that should be in this position to compete for time. I like the way he's, although relatively new to the edge position, he's already someone who is able to put together a plan, right? And he talked about having that initial move, but then being able to counter it and be able to do that mid-play, right, when he maybe will use the stab. And now it's like, oh, wait a minute, I got to, you know, maybe use the stab ghost and combine it with something. And I've seen a variety of moves out of him. The thing that I really like is just the way that he watches film, the knowledge and the understanding of other players. I mean, I was really impressed when he told me that Alden Smith was a guy that he liked to watch because of his length and because of the way he uses that stab. I think that's impressive, right? He likes to watch Micah Parsons because, like Parsons, Femi is a guy who's going from middle linebacker to outside. So those are some pretty good guys to watch, among others, right? T.J. Watt, you know, Danielle Hunter, Jonathan Grenard. I was really excited when he told me that he watched them. So he's come along. He had probably his best one-on-one period on Sunday where you started to see him win consistently. The matchups that he and J.C. Latham have been pretty exciting. And I think, you know, he's getting a chance to go against some pretty solid athletic guys. So he's only going to get better as time continues to go on.
Yeah, and Femi, you look at him, you see the pictures and the videos of him out there. That dude is a unit. And
yeah,
it's a guy that you can clearly see the clay can be molded into a guy who can be a really productive pass rusher for you. But it's good to see that it – again, you mentioned a guy who just moved over to this position middle of last season. It's good to see that it's not taking him too long to pick some of this stuff up. And maybe I said this yesterday, I think, or maybe over the weekend, that instead of maybe a 2 to 3 or 4 sack season for Femi, maybe you see 5 or 6, and he can build on that heading into 2026. Kevin Winston Jr. too, TD. I have a feeling, like, I'm sitting here at Floyd Stadium and looking up, and they've got number 20 Byard hanging above the field. And not saying he's going to be Kevin Byard, but it feels a little similar of safety you take in the third round, and you don't need him for his rookie season. Like, KB played a decent amount as a rookie, but it was his second year where he rarely came on. I think Winston, coming off the injury, this year going to be used in packages. But maybe next year we go into the season thinking that Kevin Winston can really be the next big time safety for the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, and look, you know, he had to leave practice the other day for soreness and just to, you know, for maintenance, and that's fine. I think when you look at him, what you start to see, and you got to kind of think about the coordinator. Denard Wilson is a guy who has used a lot of three safety looks, right? And when you have three safeties in Winston, Hooker, and Woods, all of which can tackle, Hooker obviously is the most rangy type of guy, but when you get that type of package, like, he's going to get some time just in sub packages. So that's good. And then you also just see, I wouldn't be surprised if at some point down the line it's flip-flopped and Winston is the guy that's out a little bit more. And then I know Woods, you know, he has another year after this year on his deal. And Hooker, that's a situation they're going to have to figure out. But Winston is definitely poised to be one of the starting safeties for the next, 3 to 4 years, however long he's here.
And I saw you reported that Winston did leave practice a little early on Sunday, but is that more just kind of load management as he works his way back?
Yes, yes. Brian Callahan, I said before practice that there will be some guys that end up, on a management type of thing, and Winston is one of them, and that's fine, right? Because, I mean, look, you want to make sure that knee is continuing to be, you know, rested and okay and not overdo it. And that's the way that these athletes are managed now.
TD, really good stuff today. It's been fun having you on. Excited to have you on every Tuesday. You know, we had Jake and TD on Fridays last year. Now it'll be Jake and TD on Tuesdays for 3 hours every single show.
Yeah, that's it right there. And we got Connor on the back. I got to shout him out, man. The music, you know, he put a little Mobb Deep in there. I just happened to say, hey, Connor, you ever heard of SOS Band? And he was like, went through their catalog and found some stuff that he knew. So
they got some stuff, man.
Yeah, listen, just be good to me, weekend girl. Yeah, man. So it's not only going to be an experience from a sports perspective. We're going to bring the music for you and continue to do it up. Next week, we'll see who we could feature. Maybe a local guy. You know, my guy MCD. Assignment. Check it out, Tennessee Living. He calls it now.
Okay. Oh, it's not Tennessee Pimpin' anymore?
He wants to go more family-friendly. So
I like it.
Tennessee Living, yeah.
I like it. Appreciate you guys holding it down back there for me in the studios. Next week, we'll all be together, and we can jam out to whatever Connor picks out. TD, travel safe to Tampa. Enjoy the trip down there. Hopefully, it's a good one.
For sure. No bad days.
Big thanks to Teron Davenport for joining us and Connor Newt as well. I am Jake Lyman signing off live here from Floyd Stadium in Murfreesboro. We will be back tomorrow. Kevin Ingram going to join us from Vanderbilt from 10 to 11. We'll also get into Titan stuff as the Two-Tone Blue hit the practice field again tomorrow morning. Chase and Big Joe coming up next here on 102.5 The Game.